Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Selfless Love Talk Show with your host, Coach Chanel Budd. And I am honored to present to you my very best sister, friend, Minister Aisha Bowles. Today's episode is very, very important, and it's going to be epic because the host is being interviewed on the Selfless Love Talk Show. So I am honored to present to you Minister Aisha Bowles. Welcome, my sister.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, my sister. I'm so honored to share space with you, first and foremost. But secondly, just to spend some very, very pure and authentic time together to hopefully share with your listeners a little bit more about your journey. As a woman, you know, a lot of times people who are producing and creating and inventing and sharing their gifts, and we don't always know the journey that those individuals have. We just see that, you know, the things that are manifesting, but not truly understanding the process. And so I just, I'm honored because I believe that when people really, really hear what your creative journey has been like, and the life that you have lived that has set the stage for where you are right now. You know, we are supposed to share our experiences, share our testimonies to hopefully encourage, uplift someone else. So it is my hope, Chanel, that during, you know, our time together that someone hears something about your journey that says, wow, if she did it, I could do it. If she was able to overcome that, I can overcome that. And that I don't have to be defined, you know, by my experiences, that our purpose and our destiny is in us. So, I'm just, you know, very, very excited to share some space with you today. And I hope that all of the listeners that are here today will be blessed with this time together. And Chanel, I just wanted to start with asking you the name Selfless Love. You know, we hear a lot about self-love. We hear a lot about self-care. We hear a lot about self-this, self-that. But this idea of selfless love is very, very different and very unique, especially in a time where it's a I, me, my world. Can you just tell me what inspired that name, Selfless Love?
So Selfless Love literally started from a sticky note. Initially, it was going to be a motivational sticker type of thing, okay? And I wrote it down, and I put it in my Bible. And a few years later, I went to look back at this piece of paper that was supposed to be a sticky note and noticed that, you know, I had a podcast show and journal books and things like that. So selfless love really honestly means to love the agape way, with agape love, with unconditional love. And knowing that endurance and perseverance and trials and all of those things go hand in hand. And so that's where selfless love was, you know, that's how I came up with selfless love. And just looking at the world and seeing all the hurt, the heaviness, the hopelessness, and saying, no, this is not what it's supposed to be. We are not supposed to look at the world and, you know, and be in the world not living. And which is, if, in order to really live, it would be that in that selfless love realm, because the me, the I, the you know, and all of that, it points back to, you know, I'm trying to think of the word for this. It's as far as like, it's not even, it's temporary gratification.
Yeah.
And that is where selfless love, you know, was birthed through all of those aspects, the unconditional love and the fact that perseverance and endurance and forgiveness and, you know, all self-accountability, all of those things.
Wow, that's powerful, because when we talk about agape love, you know, unconditional love, that higher level love, because that soulish realm that you're talking about, the ego, is that I, me, my. I want this. I want that. If I'm
yes.
not getting this, I'm not, you know, it's a very superficial surface level type of love. But to love, even when you're not getting anything in return, is a very, very powerful type of love. Would you say that your life has been fashioned in such a way that you have had to have selfless love, whether you thought you would, whether you chose to? Would you say that based on your relationships, your environments and all of those things, you were kind of wired to have selfless love?
Absolutely. So for me, my childhood, you know, throughout my childhood, I've seen a lot. I was always one who was quiet and introverted, but I was a watcher. I always observed everything, and I felt everybody's emotions, and I didn't understand what it was then. I just wanted to protect. I always wanted to protect. I mean, a little girl, and I was fierce then, you know, just wanting to be the one who makes sure everybody was okay. And so I was never afraid. I was never afraid of anybody, like anybody. And I mean, sometimes it could have been, it was in a bad way, because that's how fearless I was. And so I would say, yes, my childhood, and then, you know, my teenage years as well. You know, when I had to go through certain challenges, and, you know, watching people get bullied and all of those types of things. And I just always felt like, This is wrong. So I would even protect people who were getting bullied. I did not like bullies. You know?
Yeah.
And so, so yes, it's that. Like, that's the selflessness. That's the, you know, I see you messing with her, she or him, and he didn't do anything to you. Why are you bothering this person? You know, and I would be selfless sometimes, and I would protect those who were being bullied. So yes.
Mm-hmm. So definitely, and the reason why I wanted to point that out is that a lot of times our lives create like a theme. There's like a theme throughout our lives that sort of revealed to us what our purpose is, that sort of reveals to us that there is something in us that that needs to be used to better our environments, to better the world in some way. So, you know, yours was selfless, that selfless type of love. And, you know, just definitely with us being friends, you know, since we were 8 years old, I know that you always did have this deeper amount of love and concern for others. And, you know, being as your friend along the way, I'm like, Chanel, you just don't have to care about everybody like that.
Yes.
Focus on you, you know. But it would be easier said than done, just because of the way you're wired, the way that God created your heart, that even when you try to be selfish and you try to focus on yourself, life pushes you in a direction that you have to be selfless. And that's very important for anyone that is listening. I would challenge you to think about your theme. What is your theme in your life? That no matter what happens, whenever your back is up against the wall, whenever you're uncomfortable, whenever these situations come up, what is that character aspect of you? What is that characteristic that rises up in you? And that shows you, a lot of times it's pointing you in the direction of your purpose. And so even our uncomfortable times, you know, set us up, you know, for what it is that we are to do. So Chanel, let me just ask you a little bit more about, you know, growing up. And when we think about, you know, your journey as a young girl, you know, just thinking about maybe your 10-year-old self, 10-year-old Chanel. And I knew that 10-year-old Chanel, because there was this mommy way about you, you know, with your brother and your sister and, you know, definitely a young little mommy. But I also remember that there was a dreamer. and that you always were a dreamer. You always saw yourself doing bigger things, living bigger lives, living beyond our environments. So just if you can just share a little bit about your 10-year-old self, like family, community, creativity, you know, those aspects of who you were as a 10-year-old girl.
Absolutely. So at 10 years old, I was always in my room. I loved being alone. Mm-hmm. I found peace in being in my room where, you know, I had all these dolls. I love Cabbage Patch Kid dolls, and I would just be their mommy. I would just love them as if I was really parenting these dolls. And I love to cook. I love to help my mom. There were some things that I did not like doing, which was like the dishes and things like that. But overall, I was just, you know, I was one that always wanted more within myself. So I always looked at life and I'm like, this is, let me explain something. I had two sides. I was blessed to have two sides of what family was, okay? So I had on my mom's side, I had a great-grandmother who, you know, her and her family were very close-knit. They owned homes. They went to work. They were nurses and, you know, politicians and things like that. So, again, as a child, I always observed. And then on my father's side, I had more of the just, you know, the hood. I did live in the lower-income environments all my life. So I'm not separating it in that aspect. But what I mean is there were some that were more comfortable, and they did not want to grow. I'll say it that way. And so I had two examples. And so here I am in the middle of those two examples with my mom and being a single mom with three children and everything like that. So I always tried to figure out what was wrong or what was missing or what could be better or different. And so I love to sing. I was a singer. So singing gave me joy. So I was in the choirs. I was in the church choirs, school choirs, and things like that. But overall, I wanted to be a big sister who made sure that her siblings were okay. I wanted to always make sure my mom was okay. And to the point, sometimes she has stories like Chanel, you just wouldn't let me go. You would just hold on to my legs and scream and cry. You wouldn't let me go. But that, now that I'm older, I understand, you know.
Yeah.
So that's some of what my you know, creativity was and who I was as a 10-year-old child. I love God. I always loved God. Even when I was a 10-year-old girl, I love God. You know, I just did. I was again fearless, even back then. So
Do you remember a song that you used to love to sing in a choir? Was there a song that really resonated with you?
So there was one that was that's a good one. There was I got to think way back on that. But I like Go A Deer, a female deer. You know, Go A Deer, a female deer. And I always liked a quiet, I can't remember all of the songs. They're not coming to me. It's been a long time for me to think that far back as a child. But I loved music in general. So there's so many different songs and you know, I'm going to tell you, one of the songs I used to like was one of my mom's old school songs by Phyllis Hyman. And I was young, but I loved her. I've always loved her, her music. And Sade was another. Mariah Carey. Just everybody.
I remember that.
Yes, I love Mariah Carey and who else? Chapman.
I believe. Okay, Tracy Chapman.
Tracy Chapman, yes. So, like, that music there, it was always
okay,
for me.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So definitely, you know, as a young girl, just being that nurturer, that caregiver, that protector, you know, because when I hear about you grabbing onto mommy's leg, that's what I hear, protector, you know.
Yes,
and, you know,
yes.
Yes, cooking and helping moms. But like you said, observing these various aspects of how you can choose to live. You know, like you said, on your mom's side, there's hardworking women owning homes and property and stuff like that. And, you know, on your dad's side, those survivors, you know, just trying to make it work in those unsafe environments. And, you know, I've been blessed to be on your show as a guest, and we've talked about, you know, the impact of unsafe environments on our character, on our personalities, on our identity, and on our ability to really, really manifest the gifts that are inside of us. So we don't ever want to minimize, you know, poverty, like you were saying, that the implications of poverty in our communities are tremendous because it keeps us in survival mode and that we're not able to necessarily spread our wings and really dream and explore, you know, our passions and figure out what we like and what we don't like. Like, you know, we just got to get what we get and make it work, you know. And so let me ask you that around unsafe environments. How do you feel? Because, I mean, you're very, very self-aware. You recognize that you're this caregiver, protector, and loving and creative and dreamer, all of those things. How did unsafe environments hinder that part of you?
Very, very good question. I started to build, I had to go into a survival mode as well because in the environments that, you know, we were in, we had to build up a wall. So we started to become guarded and fear started to come in. This fearless little girl started to have a sense of fear and insecurities and things like that that crept up in. Because of the environment, because there were certain things and people and places that you could not trust. You had to watch yourself. You had to watch your back. You had to, you know, make sure your siblings were okay. For me, I'm the oldest, and so, again, I was always that protector. So I always had to have an extra guard up things that were going on around us as well. And then it started to put this falseness in me. So I started, it was almost like, you know, how they say that they're super, that there's heroes, superheroes, right? So in that environment that I was in, I had to become like this other person. And I would say I named her Coco. Okay. So that was her name. And so I had to become Coco, and Chanel started to, like, you know, dwindle, like everything that was creative and, you know, that dreamer and that hopeful person and fearless person, all of those things started to, like, be put way back to the back burner in my head. And I started to have to, you know, live in a certain way and learn certain ways to survive. You know, I had to become, like, I had to become tougher. I had to, you know, just work hard, and again, whenever you're in an environment that is, you know, full of trauma, like gang violence and gun violence and drugs and alcohol disease, you know, alcohol and stuff like that, you start to see life in a whole different way. And so the hope that I had, I started to feel like, is it even possible to even dream anymore? Am I ever going to be able to do it? And I literally started to have that doubt that everything that I had in me was gone, that I was not going to be able to do it. And so those are the things that happen. And so, you know, and that belt, that sense of, again, it's like the superficial person and feelings and everything else that you start to have, and it becomes a lie of your true identity. Yeah. And that's why sometimes it's hard when you get older for people who have, if they're stuck there and they're complacent, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard for them to tap back into that, to where their dreams yeah. and their hope and their treasures are.
Because they're buried so deep. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That is very, very powerful. I thank you so much for, you know, being transparent about that, because again, like you said, the key, the struggle comes when we buy into the lie. Like you said, that that Coco, to an extent, was formulated to protect Chanel, that pure, loving, nurturing, caring, creative dreamer would have got chewed up and swallowed up in the environment that we grew up in.
Absolutely.
And so Coco was formed to protect Chanel, as well as to protect, you know, her siblings and her loved ones and other people that she was down with, you know, and
exactly.
and definitely. And so the key, like we were saying, the trouble comes when you start to buy into the lie. This is who I am. I don't care if nobody like it. This is just me. And you know, and what that does mm-hmm. is it perpetuates the lie. You actually buy into it versus always being aware when you are defaulting to the false self. And be able to say, okay, I know this isn't who I truly am, but this is who I'm going to be because I have to be right now. Because after a while, the longer you operate in that false identity, the harder it is to come back to your true self. And that's very, very sad because we've talked, Chanel, a lot about the number of women who die and leave here with never manifesting their dreams and their goals
yes.
and the inventions that were inside of them because of being trapped. You know, we call it today from trapped to transformed. And that's the purpose why is because we become trapped by these conditions, trapped by these unhealthy environments, trapped by these toxic relationships, trapped
yes.
by these false perspectives of who we are, you know, trapped by oppression, trapped by poverty, just trapped. And what it does is it hinders you. It's like you're trying to move forward but with shackles, you know, on your feet. And so
absolutely.
Let me ask you, Chanel, at what point did you choose to change your environment? Because that was a choice, because you could have stayed there. And, you know, we've often talked about a lot of people that, you know, we grew up with that to stay in environments that are that were harmful to you, to raise your children in those same environments. When we have a beautiful world, we have a large
yeah.
country that you can relocate, you can try new environments, but a lot of times that fear keeps people bound. At what point mm-hmm. did you have the courage to change your environment?
Great question. So, when I was 18 years old, I had my daughter. She was, I want to say she was about 8 months as well. And the opportunity permitted it came up and presented itself for me to move to California. And at the time, I was literally living in the project for 6 months. And I'm like, Palm Desert, California, really? I have the opportunity. It came upon us. And not in the best way, but the opportunity presented itself. And so I said, you know what? I looked at my daughter, at my eight-month-old daughter, and then I also looked at mm-hmm. the environment that I was in. I always knew that the project was not for me. And mm-hmm. I knew it, but I didn't know how I was going to get out. And so I looked at her, and I looked outside the window of the projects, and I said, I'm going. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't care what it's going to be like, but I'm out of here. I packed up my boxes. I called my mom. I called my family, and I said, I have made the decision to go to California. And when I went to mm-hmm. California, I literally, we did like a 24, 32-hour ride, my daughter and I, on the Greyhound. That's mm-hmm. how determined I was.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there and I went into this home, she had a pool. She had, you know, I had my own bedroom and a bathroom mm-hmm. and things like that. And if you want to read more or hear more about that story, you can go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere to find Plan the Head.
Mm-hmm.
I was,
yes.
But So one of the things that I was grateful for was that this woman had four children of her own, and she was single, and she opened the door for my daughter and I, and she started to teach me more things about, you know, the womanhood part, like, okay, you're a mom and this and that, but there are certain things that I want you to do, and, you know, I want you to give me all your stamps. I had food stamps at the time. And I'm like, I'm not giving you all my food stamps. You done lost your, you know, I'm looking at her like, you crazy. I'm not giving you my stuff. And I didn't realize what she was doing was showing me more responsibility, you know, how to take care of myself. I'm in someone else's home. And the least I could do is give her all of my food stamps, right? And there was so many lessons in that, and I love her till this day. I mean, she's one of my mentors as well. I love her. But it's just having those people and being in the right place at the right time, and you don't know why things happen. Sometimes something bad or a bad situation can push you into where you're supposed to go. You know,
amen.
So that's where it started for 18. I was 18 when and when I went out there, that's when it hit me. There's 50-something states in this world, in the U.S.
Come on now.
You are not limited to where you were born. I was just, that's not me. I'm just going to end. But it is a choice. And so that's how I got started. That's how I got started to know that there was more, and I was not fearful. And the reason why I was not fearful was because I compared where I was to the possibilities of where I could be.
Yes. And I love that you said that, because you share how you went from being like this very, very fearless little girl to being a very fearful young woman. And not because that's who you are, but the environment that you were in was causing you to be that way, because you knew it was unsafe. You knew you had to look over your shoulder and be mindful of, be aware of things that were happening around you, you know, kind of at a constant state of alert, you know.
Yeah.
And so definitely you went from being fearless to fearful, but then once you changed your environment, it started to lift that fear up off of you, because you're like, wow, I didn't have to stay oppressed in an environment that was not healthy for me. I didn't have to. Like, wow. And the key, you said something very important. You seized the opportunity, Chanel. The opportunity was presented to you, and you seized it. And that's sometimes the difference between someone who evolves and someone who kind of, you know, like we talked about before, they die in that caterpillar stage. They never get to come to know who they truly are because they stay in those toxic environments that keep them trapped. And so your transformation started the minute you got on that Greyhound bus with your 8-month little girl and said, I know there's more, I want more, I don't know what to expect, I don't know, but I'm going for it. And you did it. And so that's when the transformation actually began. So let me ask you, though, so at what point did you start to, those creative juices, when did some of that start to get flowing inside of you again? Because we know at this point you're a perfumer, you're a designer, you're an inventor, you know, you're an author. I mean, at this point, you are just in overflow. You call me at least every day telling me another idea you had. And so definitely they keep coming. But at what point, after, you know, relocating, getting out of the environment that had you trapped, at what point did those creative juices start to flow again and ideas and dreams and visions start to come back to you?
Great question. So I had went back to, from California, I had went back to Pennsylvania for some years, probably about 5 years or so, 6 years. And again, I wasn't happy there. I knew that Pittsburgh was no longer the place where I was supposed to raise my daughter. And after having the experience of Palm Desert, I called one of my aunts and I said, because this is the thing about me, the Holy Spirit, you know, like I'm alone, I stay introverted a lot. I'm changing now and I'm being pushed out, so I'm no longer introverted, as much, but that allows me time to hear from God, to evaluate myself, to process certain things that's going on with me within my emotions and, you know, anxiety and things like that, just to figure out what's going on, what move do you want to make, is this the right move, you know. And so I called my aunt, and she said that she would be okay with finding me, with sending me a newspaper. And I was wanting to leave Pittsburgh again. And so she sent me the newspaper, and I started to look, and I prayed about it, and I just felt like it was good. Like, this is great. Like, yes, I felt very good about the move. And the landlord, one landlord, I went straight to this landlord on the paper she sent me, and the landlord said, send me your application and, your application and everything. We'll process it. She called me. She said, do you have it? She said, send me the deposit, and then we'll wait for you to get here. And that was what got me to Dallas, Texas. And I've been in Dallas, Texas for 19 years. The creative aspect came in when my daughter's father moved here with us. And so we started, we started our trying to rebuild our relationship and everything together and then as a family. And one day I had bought 3 or 4 notebooks, plain regular spiral notebooks. And I started to write. I would go to work and I would be on my lunch break, literally sitting down, writing. And what I was doing as I was writing, I didn't realize at the time, I thought I was just getting it all out. Just get it all out. Whatever it is, just get it out. I wrote probably about 4 or 5 full notebook pages, and I set them under my bed for years. And so here we are, maybe 7 years later, I published Playing the Hand I Was Dealt, and that was because my Holy Spirit kept saying to me, this cannot sit here. People need to know about this because this is going to help someone else. I was kind of nervous because I was literally telling my childhood, story, all the way up into my 20s, my late 20s, and so, or mid 20s. And so for me, it was tough, but it allowed me to free myself from everything that was old.
Because
now I am here in Dallas starting anew. Even through my relationship, before my husband and I got married here, we were both coming from toxic environments, right? Toxic environments, toxic, family, some family issues and things like that, broken homes, brokenness and stuff. And so, the creativity part just started to flow after the book. But it was more so the Holy Spirit that was just dropping things into my spirit. And it was all necessary, but it was showing me, okay, guess what? You have work to do. You have work to do within you. So this is how it's going to happen. So as I'm being creative and God is dropping these gifts in me, he's also healing me. He's also showing me, because I had to do a lot of self-accountability. Forgiveness of forgiving myself and forgiving other people. This is when selfless love started to come into like a manifestation, and I'm like, whoa, this is selfless love. Selfless love came to me. All of this came to me through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, literally. And it has grown.
And you know what I hear you saying, what I hear the Holy Spirit literally saying to me right now is a willing vessel, that you are a willing vessel. And that's the reason why the Lord is able to keep pouring into you ideas and innovations and new perspectives. That's the reason why, because you are a willing vessel. But at one time, if you would have remained in that hard state, in that that state that had the walls up, you know, the barriers and the blockages up to protect yourself, you would not have been able to receive all of that. There may have even, I often encourage, you know, anyone, if you have, things that you want to create, produce, be sure that you're doing so in your true self. Because if you're not, you'll eventually have to come all the way back and start all over again, and that's painful. So being sure that as you are being a willing vessel, open to receive from God the inspiration and, all of those things that he'll deposit into you, you have to be sure that you're not having all these blockages up and these barriers and these walls that you may have put up out of being hurt, you know, in the past, out of being disappointment, out of fear. But Chanel, when you put all these walls and barriers and blockages up, yes, it might protect you from those things that you fear, but it also blocks God being able to move in you. So that's the reason why it has to be a fearless walk. I don't know. Just like I always go back to that 18-year-old girl on the Greyhound bus. It's the same way each and every day that you rise up. I don't know what today is going to bring. I don't know what's going to happen after I do this. I don't know what to expect, but I trust you. I trust the process, and I want to be a willing vessel. And so definitely that's absolutely powerful because, again, being trapped blocks your creativity. And so the minute that you freed yourself, got back out of PA, relocated to Dallas, began to start to establish your family, it freed up space. It freed up space for you to begin to be deposited into. And so definitely, you know, I have to begin to guide us into your journey as a wife and how your journey as a wife took this idea, this concept, this perspective, this viewpoint of selfless love to a whole nother level. And, you know, I've often said, I believe you're called to love those who are difficult to love. And that's what selfless love is. It's easy to love those that are easy to love, but those that are hard to love, you have to love from a higher level, a higher perspective. So how did your journey as a wife bring out more of that which was already in you?
So one thing I want to say about being a wife is being a wife is a gift. Just like being a husband is a gift. Mm-hmm. And it's also a ministry, right? And so, you know, for myself, I had to look at a lot of things to understand. And I learned all of this through being married. Selfless love also was you know, birthed from being married as well. And so one of the things about our journey is that we were both. You know, the oldest of the two, we were both protectors and everything, you know, within our families and things like that. We were both broken. And we were both trying to find ourselves, but also love each other at the same time. Okay. And so, through the marriage, one of the things I want to say is the healing part of it. When you understand that you are, because a lot of times you'll have one, a lot of the times there's always one who loves the Lord more and or they know what they want and they're ready to go for it and everything like that. And you always have one who is, you know, is trying or don't want to try or however. So you have to understand that for me, I was one who, like we said, I've always dreamed. I've always knew that I wanted more. I wanted better. And so when it came to our marriage, I had to love my husband knowing that he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. There were times that my Holy Spirit literally spoke to me and said, you don't forget where you come from because you were him once, but just a female. and vice versa. I mean, I was literally having to check myself in some areas, which I love because it helped me to love him more unconditionally. And to love somebody who's hard to love, yes, that has always been who I've been gravitated to. And it does not always have to be a relationship, an intimate relationship. And so for me, I understood a man's pain. Why? Because I had a brother. I had uncles. I have a father. I have men that love me, but I also watched their brokenness as I was growing up. I've always been an observer of that. And so, you know, I understood some of the language and some of the things. Not everything was okay at all. There were things that I did not like about our relationship as far as the communication. Some things were verbal, you know, and things like that. And again, our childhood and sometimes the environments we're raised in, you know, the cussing and fussing and stuff like that. If you go back home, you will hear that all the time. And it's like it's normal conversation. And so there were aspects, seriously, there were like aspects in which I'm like, okay, we got to get better. We have to grow better beyond what we've been through and everything. And so it was a very, very trying process. But the Lord guided me, the Holy Spirit guided me along the way to let me see, move, child, and let me show you how to love my way. Let me show you how to love my way. Not only did it help me with my marriage, but it helped me with me. It helped me to understand how to love me better, how to love my daughter better, how to love my mom better, how to love my siblings better, and to go out here even in your job, wherever you are. It showed me how to love people and see them past their flesh, to actually see them in the spirit, to see them as the person that they want to really be, but they don't even believe in themselves enough. And so my marriage really helped me in that way of, you know, the praying. I had to pray more. You know, I had to trust the Lord more because as far as when it comes to relationships, the enemy does not want marriages to work at all. That is the number one thing that the Lord honors is marriage. I had to understand that, you know, and then my husband, you know, for those who don't know, my husband was diagnosed with a heart failure. And, you know, so then we had that journey for some years, which I had to have faith, right? I'm the one that believes. You know, I had a stronger relationship with the Lord and everything. So my job as a wife was what? To go to the throne, to pray, to trust, to have that faith, to be the caregiver, to love him, to encourage him and things like that, to get through, you know. So it's something. It's something. But the ultimate thing is not everybody understands marriage. Not everybody understands what it is to have a true marriage, because marriage is not easy. Everybody looks at media. Everybody is out here and they want to showcase that they have a boo and a spouse and this and that, but they don't want to do the necessary work, and it is work.
It is work. It's selfless. It's selfless. And, you know, I truly thank God because, you know, there was a long, a pretty decent period after you left Pittsburgh that you and I didn't talk to you for like years. And then all of a sudden, and I really can't even pinpoint it, Chanel, but all of a sudden, like, God just brought us back together, like literally back together. And it's almost like we picked up where we left off as little girls, you know, and at that point we were both wives. That was the key, is that at that particular point, we were both wives. We were both called into the ministry of marriage. And so we were able to encourage each other, pray for each other, uplift each other, all of those things, understanding exactly all of those things that you're speaking about, because I do believe that people desire marriage or enter into marriage with this false understanding of what it truly is and how self-sacrificing it really is, because there are so many periods in that relationship where it's just not about you. It's just not not about you.
Nope.
It's about what that other person needs. And again, not to be, certainly if it's an abusive situation or anything like that, not to endure, you know, abuse. But
absolutely.
Outside of that, that emotional stuff, oh, man, my sister, we've had many, many conversations of being able to rise above your emotions. To make thoughtful decisions and how to move forward. You know, you mentioned a number of things in your sharing about how marriage brought out the best of you. You talked about forgiveness and that when you saw these flaws in your husband or you saw these ways in him that you didn't like, God had to remind you, as I have forgiven you, you can forgive him. And that mm-hmm. if it wasn't for my grace on your life, you may be the very same way. You know, the Word of God tells us, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. And we have to trust and believe that. So we have to keep a heart of forgiveness and not just grow bitter every time somebody offends or hurts or disappoints. You know, we have to forgive that because, again, that blocks, that puts those walls up, that doesn't allow you to be an open vessel for what it is that God wants to do. And so just so many powerful things that you talked about in regards to how your marriage really, really, really pushed you even further and that you were blessed to be able to keep your vow to your husband to the very end, no matter how difficult it was, how many times it was like, I can't mm-hmm. do this, that you were able yeah. to love selflessly enough to be with your husband, you know, until his last day here on earth. And, you know, all of us who are listening or all of us that are in your life, you know, we continue to pray, you know, for you daily, understanding that there has been a shift in your identity, yes, yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Now that aspect of being a wife is lifted, but God blessed you with so many things, like your fragrance. Amen. I'm so
Amen.
Excited about, you know, your fragrance line and, again, being your sister who I remember when you started mixing oils in your dining, at your dining room table, just started playing around with different scents and mixing and trying and,
yes.
And everything. And now just those moments have led to an actual fragrance line. It's amazing. So can you talk a little bit about how the irony, or I don't want to say the irony, the divine of how as you, you know, our Alvin, our loved one, departed, how your fragrance line birthed shortly after that. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Sure. So one of the blessed things about my husband and I that God allowed was for us to have conversations. So we had powerful conversations, and I was literally in denial. I was in denial the whole time because I didn't want to accept what he was saying to me. But my husband, it was like he knew. He didn't have long, and he told me that, okay? And so in that, he said some powerful things to me. He said, Chanel, he said, I'm going to go ahead, because he's an entrepreneur. He was an entrepreneur also. So he said, I'm going to go ahead and put what I'm doing down so that I can be beside you and help you. And I'm like, he said, we need to do it one way or the other, and I'm choosing to be by your side to help you. And as he said that, when he passed away, I had some information a few months prior to him passing, and the lady ended up reaching out to me, my manufacturer, ended up reaching out to me a few months after he passed and said, send me your samples. I will go ahead and see if we can match your scent, your scent that you're sending us. And so she did an amazing job, and I named it Selfless Love because the oil is very powerful, and true love and perseverance, okay, is powerful. And so Selfless Love fragrance is an elegant scent. It's very, very, it's like a, it tells a song. It tells a story. It's a citrusy blend, and it tells a story. It's very, very, you know, it's just, it's, what I was grateful for was because it was a better, it was 1,000 times better than what I could ever even imagine. And when it was birthed, when it was launched the day after Thanksgiving, and I did it specifically because I wanted to celebrate. You know, instead of on Thanksgiving not being with him, and we launched, they were here, Fish, Aisha, Minister Aisha, but my sister was here as well, and we were able to celebrate our journey with your selfless love. And the fragrance, it tells the story, an amazing story of perseverance, of love, of everything, like, just it's extraordinary.
Yes, it's and, powerful. It's so powerful.
Yes, and it's the victory. So, you know, through life, we all have a journey, right? Some people, they're born and they make it right away and they do great, and then later in their lives is when they have their trials and their struggles and things like that. And then a lot of us are born in the struggle, right? And then as we grow, we can break those cycles. We can, you know, become successful. We can learn from our old mistakes and not want to do things, you know, to harm or hurt us, right, by our choices. And so for my husband and I, and even through my life, my individual life, not even being married, I can look back and really say that through the pain and the pressing and the trials and the tribulations, we did not live our lives in vain. And heaven's the perfume line is a result of the goodness and the mercy and the faithfulness of God.
Amen. The selfless love of God.
The selfless love of God.
Yes. And, you know, and then for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, the ultimate display of selfless love is Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, that we don't have to hide in shame. We don't have to wake up full of guilt. We don't have to stay stuck because of mistakes that we made in the past. We don't even have to be bound by generational curses and all of that. Yeah. Through the selfless love of Jesus, when we accept him, we are elevated. We are lifted above the sins of this world. We are lifted above the conditions that trap us and seek to cause us not to live out our destiny and our purposes. You know, Chanel, I have to tell you, because we are approaching the noon hour and we want to hear from your listeners, but I want to say to you that it is truly phenomenal, the things that you have been able to accomplish in your life up to this point. We know it's not done yet. This is just the beginning. You didn't go to a four-year college and pledge to a sorority that gives you access to networking systems and all of those things. You're not a part of an secret society that gives you, you know, favor in this world. You're not a part of any particular affiliations and groups that give you special access. All that you have been able to accomplish is truly through the grace of God. And it is such a manifestation of it. It is such a powerful testament to many people in this world who need to understand that you can do great things. You can accomplish things without feeling like you have to, I'll just daggone near sell your soul to get it. That through perseverance, through faith, through hope, through courage, through strength and a desire to evolve and do better than the generation before, all of that, you can do it. You can do it. If Chanel could do it, if I can do it, if many of us who grew up the way that we did and made many of the mistakes that we have made and can still rise up above all of that and be productive, be healthy, be, you know, influencers in the environments that we are in. If we can do it, you can do it too. Yes, you can. I don't care if you're 20 or if you're 70. That as long as you still have breath in your body, you can say today, Lord, let me be a willing vessel to you. Mm-hmm. And he will open you up. And he will begin to pour in. All it takes is your willingness and your desire. And Chanel, before we open up for your guests, I just want to read a scripture that was placed on my heart as I thought about you. And it's Romans 12, 1 through 8. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. It is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So, Chanel, we thank God that you have allowed God to transform you, that you did not allow yourself to be trapped by those false perspectives, those false beliefs about who you are and who you should be, trapped by fear, you know, trapped by generational patterns that aren't conducive, all of those things. Thank you for not allowing yourself to be trapped and allowing God to transform you, that you can be an example to many. So, you know, I would like to publicly thank you as your sister for allowing me to just share a pure and authentic discussion with you, set the platform for you to share with your listeners a little bit more about how in the world did Chanel from up Lincoln become who she is right now, and to understand that it was a journey. It didn't just happen overnight. And so we thank you for your honesty. And so we would love to hear if anyone has any questions or comments that are listening today.
And please mute your phone if you're not going to be asking any questions. I'm going to unmute everyone's line, okay? So please mute your phone so that we don't get any background noise.
Hi, I'm Chanel. This is your mom. And today, oh, my gosh, I want to be the first to say who knew as well. Who knew, you know, because having you and, you know, watching you grow and the what I thought was insecurity as a, you know, a young baby growing up, that, you know, you didn't want to let me go. You, everywhere I went, you, I wasn't in your sight. You couldn't make it. It's like you couldn't function unless I was in your sight. And I didn't understand at that point of time what God was showing me, you know. But when you have your children, you love them as children. You sometimes don't see the spiritual aspect sometimes until you learn it, you know. But I'm telling you, you're my sister in Christ. Yes, I born you. But glory be to God Almighty that I could call you my sister in Christ, because I'm still learning. And what you have shown me, there's no words. There's no words, because you changed all of us. It wasn't just for one person or you or this or that. It was whoever was in your in your circle, even the ones that wasn't just come, that was going to come in the future. You know, you set a purpose. You mm-hmm. heard the voice of God. You heard these new voices coming in telling you to, you know, be careful and watch your step and don't do this and don't. You didn't know where it was coming from, but it was coming from the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because, he, mm-hmm. you know, this is generation on our family. My mother had it. Mm-hmm. I had it. You have it. Maya had it. And her children are going to have it because we belong mm-hmm. to God. We belong to mm-hmm. Allah. We belong to God Almighty. Do you yes. understand? Not the Allah of the world, but the all of all. You understand?
Amen.
And so this is what I'm Amen. Saying. Yahweh, that's right, because he said, what did he say? He said, what was made was and what wasn't wasn't. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But when we were coming through life and I was struggling as a mom, trying to figure out how I was going to do this and do that and make sure that you were okay, I kind of, left you all kind of without semi-protection, but God stepped in. God stepped in. Do you understand
Amen.
What I'm saying?
Amen.
And yes, being the firstborn is that bad. He chose you to be the firstborn for
yes.
such a time.
Yes.
You see, because mm-hmm. my mother went through it. Her mother went through it. Her mother went through it. You understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? So we can't get mad at what our parents, how our parents
yes.
Raised us or how our parents, you know, did things that it wasn't good in our eyes, but when you grow up and life begins to come upon you, you'll start recognizing, oh, my mom told me about that. Oh, that's what she meant mm-hmm. by that, or that's what
yes.
my dad was telling mm-hmm. me, that's what he meant by that. And this is where the education and the experiences come in. You know, but God
mm-hmm.
be the glory. I never, never, never not left you unprotected because I always gave you God. I've always gave you Jesus
Amen.
Christ. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
When I left the house, we prayed. When I came home, we prayed. When you all
mm-hmm.
called me in my world, we prayed. You see what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
he would get me home at that crucial time that y'all needed me. He would get me back home.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So our journey
yeah.
is not ours. God is setting us for greater things. Somebody
Amen.
in our loins, somebody in our future is going to need this. It's not just
yes.
now.
Yes, Mama Sandy.
It's for the future, too.
Miss Sandy, can I say something? Because I want to
yes.
highlight something that you mentioned that, you know, Chanel and I had a conversation the other day, and I was saying to her, you know, we were sharing, and we were saying we get the exact mothers and fathers we are supposed to get to fulfill the purposes that God has for our lives. Some people are still so angry and frustrated and all of these things about what their mother did or didn't do or their father did or their father didn't do. Understand, whoever is listening, I feel somebody needs to hear this. You have the exact mother and father that you were supposed to have to manifest what God needs to manifest in you. Don't be angry. Don't be bitter. Don't be any of that. Say, God, thank you for the mother and the father that you chose for me. May I receive the best parts of them so that I can manifest that which you have put in me. So thank you so much for sharing, Ms. Sandy, because that's a very, very important point because a lot of people get stuck on that part. And again, when we talk about those blockages, those barriers and those walls that we have up that we can't be willing vessels, we can't receive, a lot of that childhood hurt and all of those things keep people stuck, trapped. That's one of the trappings.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
Okay.
Any other comment or question? Any other comments or questions?
I'll jump in. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear
Hey, this is Shanae. I first want to say to
mm-hmm.
God be the glory. You know, Minister
mm-hmm.
Aisha, at the interview, you represented, the interviewer, you represented Selfless Love Talk Radio Show very well. Well done to
Praise
you
God. In
representing the talk show and Chanel and what she has going on. And I believe I heard the answer to this, but I just want to put it out there for those who, you know, may have this question, you know, but just don't want to speak out. So, Chanel Buds, in a few words, for those walking in selfless love and or want to walk in selfless love, How can it become a challenge? And talk to us about, you know, when it has become a challenge, or if it becomes a challenge, what to do and how to overcome it so therefore people can continue to walk in selfless love.
Oh, very good question. So basically with selfless love, it takes endurance and it takes perseverance, but it takes a daily process of forgiveness and for trusting in the Lord, right? So in everything, you have to seek God first. That's the only way I was able to do this, to be honest. I had to seek the Lord in everything. And again, I will always say, the things that you really want and love in life, you will do the work for, if it's for you to do. So with selfless love, when you're walk in it, believing in it, trusting in it, having the faith to do it, but also, number one, trusting in God that it will turn out for your good. Either way, because sometimes walking in selfless love, you'll go through your pain. One thing I want to always say is there's no fix to life except for God. There's no other way of getting through life, getting through relationships, getting through parenting, getting through self-love, self-care, or any of that without God. He is the key to everything. That's how I made it. That's how I'm able to still stand. That's how I'm able to still serve. Why? I lost my husband. He passed literally in my, like, right here with me, in my presence, in my arms, okay? And for me, that was something I never thought I'd be able to handle or get over. But you know what I did? Every single day. And I'm talking about from the morning I had to wake up and my real reality was there. I had to say, get up. Get up, Chanel. You got work to do. You got work to do. Now you're going to really live in your purpose. You're going to really press through. And you're not living just for you, because now you're living for two.
Chanel, can I add something to that as well?
Yeah.
Because as women, a lot of times it's easier for women to be selfless because of the way that we're wired. And so one of the healthy ways to be selfless is first and foremost is seeking the Father and how to love someone selflessly. You can't love everyone the same way because people have weaknesses, traumas, behaviors, actions that at times you have to alter how you interact with people for your own preservation, because self-preservation is number one with law. So we also have to have healthy boundaries. And even with forgiveness, I want to say this, that, you know, it says forgiveness is letting go of resentment, anger, and hostility towards someone who treated you unfairly, even though you are justified in having these feelings. Forgiveness is not condoning, approving of, or excusing what happened. And so even with forgiveness, even with loving people selflessly, there still should be boundaries. We should still be sure that we are not putting ourselves in harmful situations because we're not Jesus. We shouldn't sacrifice ourselves for people who may not know how to handle that type of love. So seeking the Father and how to love each person selflessly that he brings along your path is wisdom. You cannot love everyone the same, but he will give you guidance. He will give you direction. He will give you wisdom in how to love particular people selflessly based on their needs and who you are as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was leading me to a second question. Glad you mentioned that, because that was leading me to my second question that I have for you, Ms. Chanel Budd. So can you give us an example when there's a time where someone tried to use, you know, your selfless love to their advantage, where they tried to take advantage of your love, you know, because we know that's a sense of vulnerability, and a lot of people don't like to be vulnerable. But, you know, how do you overcome when you can clearly see that someone is taking advantage of the love that you have to give, your selfless love?
Very good question. And so in that, I'm always one. So this is the thing about me, for those who don't know. I do have selfless love, but I also have boundaries. I also have integrity. I love myself. And so no means no. You know, sometimes you have to tell people. You have to call it out because there's two pointers to this. The enemy tries to come up with you love, okay? He will use them, and they may not even know that they're being used to get into that vulnerable space. Because, you know, when you love people and you're a giver and things like that, you'll be drawn to that. But you do have to have the, like Minister Aisha said, you do have to have boundaries. You have to know what it is that you accept, what it is you will not accept, which is also, again, learning yourself, the self-care and the self-love. It starts with you first. And there's a lot of times I've had to actually call people out, and they were upset at me because I called it out because they weren't, I guess they wouldn't have expected it from me, or, you know, and so a lot of times when you love people, they look at it as, oh, she spoils me or this or that. But no, manipulation is manipulation. So you have to call a spirit what a spirit is. And again, that is seeking the Lord, that is asking him for wisdom, discernment, understanding. I ask for that daily, and I ask for it to be renewed.
Mm.
And so, yes, like Minister Aisha said as well, he will show you and give you the things that you need for that individual or specific person, because everybody is different, and so they have to be handled in a different way. That's like if you have multiple children. They all have their own different personalities, right? So you have to approach and you know, deal with them on the level of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Well done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Any other questions or comments? This is good. As we wrap up today, such a powerful, powerful discussion. I feel like we need a whole conference with Chanel about this topic. any other comments or questions?
I just want to say y'all are doing a great job. Keep going on and going on and pressing through. This is a good year. It's 2022. We made it. We survived the virus.
Amen.
The smoke is cleared. The dust is settled, and we're still here. So get busy for God. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I've been on 1,000 of these radio shows, and it feels good to come around good, positive, spiritual people who understand the will of God, not just the move, but the will.
Amen.
Thank you for being here today. It's so nice to hear a man's voice. Amen. So praise God.
Amen.
Thank you for your presence here today. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Y'all made me feel at home. Y'all want y'all to be blessed this year. And remember, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is cash in hand. And take that to the doors and get a bunch.
Yeah. Amen. Let's do it. Amen. Yes. All right. Well, Chanel, I believe we have arrived to this place. You know, I could stay here and share space with you all day, but for the respect of time, you know, it has been truly been a blessing to share space with you today, to hear more of your story. And I pray that everyone who listened in today was blessed and encouraged. And may we all continue to be those willing vessels that God needs each of us to be in these times that we are in. He's deposited something in each of us that needs to be brought forth for a time such as this. So, Chanel, thank you for being an example of that. And we just say God bless. God bless. God bless everything you lay your hands to.
Amen.
Amen.
I would like to say thank you for being my interviewer. I want to say to everyone who is listening, be encouraged. You know, encourage yourselves daily. Seek the Lord for yourselves. He will give you all that you need. Media, the radios, and everywhere else will try to, you know, overload us with the things of the world. But truly, our purposes will definitely make room for us. Our gifts will make room for us if we just believe in the Lord, trust the process, and persevere. So I just want to say blessings to you all. I pray for you to be covered and protected, you and your families. And I would like for you all to share this podcast. You know, you can share the replay. It's blogtalkradio.com/coach Chanel, C-H-A-N-E-L, Budd, B-U-D-D. I can be found on Instagram, Women Who Encourage. If you are looking for the fragrance, you can go to selflesslovefragrance.com. And if you want to see any of my published work, you can go on and you can Google my name or you can go to Amazon. And, you know, just everyone, we are here to support each other. It takes a village. So I pray you all have a wonderful weekend. And thank you again for being here. Bye for now.
Bye, Chanel.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye.